And we're back. Here's Sue with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippine Pole Body's First Division junks the remaining disqualification case against presidential bet Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Police vowed to conduct a thorough probe into Tuesday's shooting incident targeting the group of presidential candidate Lyody de Guzman. Russia issues a new surrender ultimatum for Ukrainian fighters in Mariupol. And the International Monetary Fund cuts its global growth forecast for the year, citing Russia's invasion of Ukraine. More news. Russia gives Ukrainian fighters still holding out in Mariupol a new ultimatum to surrender. Russia's defense ministry said it is giving Ukrainian fighters until 2 p.m. of April 20th, Moscow time, to lay down their arms. Ukrainian commanders have vowed not to surrender. Thousands of Russian troops backed by artillery and rocket barrages were advancing in what Ukrainian officials have called the Battle of Donbas. They are hitting the Azovstal steel plant, the remaining stronghold in Mariupol. Ukraine receives fighter planes and aircraft parts to bolster its air force in the face of Russia's assault on the east. The Pentagon, however, did not specify the number of aircrafts nor which countries sent them. Washington also stressed the U.S. only helped with a shipment of some parts, but they have not transported a whole aircraft. The Ukrainian military had been pleading for warplanes for weeks, but the U.S. and its allies have declined, fearing Russia would see it as a direct involvement of NATO in the conflict. The United Nations denounces Russia's fresh offensive in eastern Ukraine. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calling for a four-day truce to mark the Orthodox Holy Week, which would follow safe passage for civilians to flee the war zone and for humanitarian aid to be delivered.
Instead of celebration of a new life, this Easter coincides with the Russian offensive in eastern Ukraine. The intense concentration of forces and firepower makes this battle inevitably more violent, bloody, and destructive. The onslaught and terrible toll on civilians we have seen so far could pale in comparison to the horror that lies ahead. This cannot be allowed to happen. For all these life or death reasons, I call on Russians and Ukrainians to silence the guns and forge a path to safety for so many at immediate risk. The four-day Easter period should have a moment to unite around saving lives and furthering dialogue to end the suffering in Ukraine.
The UN Security Council met again Tuesday to discuss the humanitarian situation in Ukraine and neighboring countries. More than 12 million Ukrainians have fled their country since the Russian invasion began on February 24. Back here at home, Malacanang says the Philippine Energy Department is seeking reconsideration over a decision to suspend oil exploration activities in the West Philippine Sea. The agency earlier directed the PXP Energy Corporation to put on hold such activities until it gets the green light from the Security, Justice and Peace Coordinating Cluster. The cluster said the move was made in consideration of political, diplomatic and national security implications of any activity in the West Philippine Sea.
The DOE sought reconsideration on the ground that under international law, a geophysical survey is perfectly legitimate activity in any disputed area. The DOE is still waiting for the decision on its requests for reconsideration.
This development came after a month, over a month, after President Duterte said commitments must be honored in the joint exploration in Recto Bank with China to avoid any possible conflicts. For a maritime expert, the changing stand of the Philippine government on the matter sends a bad signal to investors, which could be detrimental to the country's petroleum industry.
This flip-flopping shows that we are kowtowing to China's demands, no? Even if there has not been any overtly aggressive action on the part of China. Mm-hmm. Based on the reports, the China Coast Guard was only shadowing the vessels after all. Second, it's also a bad signal, not just to the region, but also to the business community,
right,
that the Philippines is not reliable as an investment area, especially when it comes to petroleum, no? Mm-hmm. Because all of these companies will see that these contracts are not worth anything. No, if the Philippines, after all of the trouble of planning and investing and chartering these vessels, at the last minute, the Philippines will back out.
Biden administration will appeal a judge's ruling ending its mask mandate on airplanes and other public transportation. But that's only if the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention deems it necessary. The CDC has said it will continue to study whether the mandate was still needed. On Monday, a Florida judge struck down the 14-month-old mask mandate, saying it was unlawful. The ruling comes as COVID-19 cases rise in the U.S. More than 400 Americans are still dying every day from the airborne disease. The Philippine Consul General in Shanghai says the Chinese city is now under a so-called dynamic case clearing. This means residents in the region undergo regular COVID testing several times in a week in order to detect and isolate cases. The move aims to eventually localize lockdowns in the Chinese financial hub. The Philippine Consulate in Shanghai says it is in constant communication with local authorities and the Philippine government to assist Filipinos living in the city. So far, 10 Filipinos there have tested positive.
The recommendation that we felt would address the common challenges would be in terms of providing some measure of food security for our nationals, no? And so that's why the request for assistance is in the form of vouchers, food cards that are as good as cash that our Filipinos can use to purchase goods online.
Shanghai's COVID lockdown has stretched to its third week as it battles an Omicron-fueled COVID outbreak. Moderna releases clinical data on a new version of its COVID-19 vaccine, which produces a stronger immune response to major variants, including Omicron and Delta. The biotech company says its redesigned vaccine targets 9 mutations found in the Beta variant, including 4 shared with Omicron. Moderna is also developing an additional vaccine that targets 32 mutations present in the Omicron variant, which will be its lead candidate for a booster shot in the Northern Hemisphere later this year. The private sector calling on Filipinos to support economic recovery efforts by receiving a COVID vaccine booster shot. Presidential Advisor for Entrepreneurship Joey Concepcion points out a surge in the coming months is possible as the country's booster coverage remains low. Out of 66 million fully vaccinated Filipinos, only 12 million have received a third dose. Concepcion says the country cannot afford to revert to lockdowns.
We have freedom now, pero if we want to maintain this freedom, we need to be fully boosted, no? Or we have to maintain our level of immunity para tuloy-tuloy ang pagbukas ng economy, and of course, yung pagbubukas ng economy, importante dyan yung health ng mga citizens natin. Kasi kung tumaas itong mga infection, our health will be affected. That will trickle down to back to alert level. So we are trying to save the economy and help people get their jobs.
And going back to our top story now on the junking of the final Marcos disqualification case, we're now joined by Bayan Muna Representative Ferdinand Gaite. Congressman, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon to all our viewers this afternoon.
All right, Congressman, were you surprised at all that this decision has come out from the COMELEC First Division?
Well, first of all, we are definitely dismayed, but it does not actually a surprise, considering how they decided, how the Comelec previously decided on the other disqualification case against Marcos. So right now, we're not surprised, but definitely we're dismayed.
That it moved slowly in the system, what does that tell you, Congressman?
Well, true. That is a problem because May 9 is fast approaching. As you know, as I understand, it was decided at the division level. Then, therefore, it must still be elevated. And I believe all the complainants will have to appeal this decision to the unbank or all the members of the Comelec. So the proceedings itself is taking so much time. And probably March 9 would have passed and gone. And the decision by the Comelec still would not have come out.
Of course, the process is only after the Comelec settles all, the Comelec unbank settles all the matters involving the petitions against Marcos Jr. Can you elevate it to the Supreme Court? How confident are you that all these matters will be settled as promised before the end of April?
Well, I'm not so optimistic that all these complaints will be decided by the Comelec, the petitions. Also, before it can be, you're right, that Carmina, that before it can be brought to the Comelec, to the Supreme Court, the Comelec must have a final decision on the matter. So right now, the way that the Comelec is proceeding makes us all wonder if there is really enough time for the disqualification cases filed with the Comelec can be decided in the correct period in which the cases will be decided. So we plead with the Comelec to hasten the proceedings. There is a very important matter concerning the eligibility of a candidate running for the highest position in the land. So I think with urgency, they must act.
In 2021, your colleague, Congressman Zarate, said while he lauded the petitions filed against Marcos Jr. before the Comelec, he also said that the former senator should not be allowed to get away with further deceiving the Filipino people using these plundered riches. He said this when the first of the petitions were filed, and now that you have the last or the remaining petition being decided upon by the Comelec, what do you think is the message that the Comelec is now trying or is conveying to the people with this decision?
Well, as you said, we are not surprised. The current composition of the Comelec, I would not say that they are entirely impartial. We believe that certain members are not deciding based on the merits of the case. We hope that they should set aside their political affiliations and render a decision which is definitely to the intent and letter of the law. So as Attorney Caloy Zarate, our member in Bayan Muna, said, they should not allow a candidate who had violated so many provisions regarding the filing of the candidacy, the cases that were already decided against the Marcoses. We believe that Bongbong Marcos should not have been allowed to run in the very first place. So we hope that the Comelec decide with urgency, and we hope that we still, of course, are praying that the Comelec sees through all these political shenanigans of the group of Marcos, so that we can proceed with an elections with candidates who are qualified to run in this very important elections.
What gives you hope now, Congressman Gaita, considering the previous decisions, and considering the fact that, you know, they won't overturn themselves. And that is the that already is the expectation. If you had expected this and you weren't surprised at all, I mean, even going up to the Comelec on bank level, chances are you're not going to get what you want as well. So what to you is the hope there, is the silver lining?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, there's supposedly an infight, I think, even within the Comelec. I do not know the truthfulness of that information. But hopefully they see through this, all these attempt to obfuscate the obvious in the case of Marcos. We hope that they set aside their their political affiliations, their loyalties, and instead be loyal to the law, be loyal to the Constitution, be loyal to the provisions of the Omnibus Election Code, so that we hope again that they we can never lose hope. We should always have hope. And whatever the decision of the Comelec, I just hope that they expedite this, so that, as you said, if we there is the necessity of bringing this to the Supreme Court, then the faster we get to the Supreme Court, I think the better.
How does this complicate things now, Congressman Gaite?
Definitely, there are so many complications. If the surveys are right, and the elections go in favor of Marcos, there will be definitely a problem on how the Comelec will proclaim a candidate who apparently is not qualified. So this will be, I believe, this is there is no previous case similar to this. So this matter will be probably one of the more curious developments in our elections in the Philippines.
And what's a surefire way to avoid that kind of a scenario that you just painted for us, Congressman?
Well, as I said, if the Comelec will hopefully expedite the process in deciding, and final arbiter, the Supreme Court, can have a go at deciding on this case, I think there will be a more acceptable or probably settled the issue probably would be more settled in that manner. Well, we're still hoping. We can never lose hope. But right now, there are so many things hanging in the air. Even I've asked to some friends of mine, some lawyers, and they're also debating on how this whole thing will proceed. So right now, everything's up in the air. But hopefully, I think the Comelec has to use all its resources to make a decision on this case, and within the proper time, so that whatever legal remedies are available to the complainants can be utilized at the soonest possible time.
But why bank on the Comelec on bank? Why count on them alone? Shouldn't the deciding factor be a decisive win after the May 9 polls?
I think that that's also an issue, and as I understand, there were previous decisions by the court also that the concept of the vox populi, if the people have spoken, then that's the decision. I think that was partly set aside because there are issues where even the qualifications of the candidates must first be looked into before they even qualify to run as candidates. So we can't help but go through that process. The available remedies right now is from the division, we have to go to the NBank before any other next step in the legal remedies available can be utilized. So the Supreme Court probably could definitely is the final arbiter of the issue at hand.
Bayamuna Representative Ferdinand Gaita there joining us. We appreciate you taking our call despite you being mobile. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmina, and more power to your program.
Thank you. Take care. We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, Netflix loses subscribers for the first time in a decade. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on the News Channel. Back with more news, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin affirms his country's ironclad commitment to Manila's security during a meeting with his Philippine counterpart Delfin Lorenzana at the Pentagon. Austin reiterated the two countries' mutual defense treaty commitments extend to the Philippine Armed Forces, public vessels and aircraft in the South China Sea. The secretaries agreed to strengthen the treaty through various means, including the development of bilateral defense guidelines. The Philippines has filed numerous diplomatic protests over Chinese incursions in its exclusive economic zone. The International Monetary Fund follows suit in cutting its global growth forecast for the year, citing turmoil from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The IMF projects a 3.6% growth for the global economy for 2022 and 2023. This year's forecast represents a nearly full percentage point drop from its January estimate of a 4.4% growth. The IMF says the war is expected to further increase inflation, warning that a further tightening of Western sanctions on Russia to target energy exports would cause another major drop in global output. Other risks include a sharper-than-expected deceleration in China, prompted by a flare-up of COVID-19 lockdowns.
Global economic prospects have been severely set back, largely because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This crisis unfolds as the global economy has not yet fully recovered from the pandemic. Even before the war, inflation in many countries had been rising due to supply-demand imbalances and policy support during the pandemic, prompting a tightening of monetary policy. The war adds to the series of supply shocks that have struck the global economy in recent years. Like seismic waves, its effect will propagate far and wide through commodity markets, trade, and financial linkages.
As for Ukraine, the IMF sees its GDP collapsing by 35% this year, while Russia's output may shrink 8.5%. The IMF's revised forecast comes a day after the World Bank downgraded its global growth outlook to 3.2% from 4.1%, also due to the impact of Russia's war in Ukraine. While the IMF may have a bleak forecast for the global economy, but it painted a rosier outlook for the Philippines. The global lender expects the local economy to grow 6.5% this year, up from its previous estimate of 6.3%. But that's still below government's 7-9% growth target range for the year. For 2023, the IMF expects a GDP expansion of 6.3% within government's 6-7% target for next year. The IMF's latest projection makes the Philippines the fastest-growing economy among members of the ASEAN 5. The upward revision comes as the Philippine economy continues to reopen following strict COVID lockdowns. Netflix loses subscribers for the first time in a decade. Based on its first quarter report, the streaming giant lost 200,000 subscribers during the January to March period. The drop erased about $40 billion of its stock market value. Netflix warns of deepening trouble ahead, forecasting a global subscriber loss of 2 million for the second quarter. It says it lost 700,000 subscribers after suspending operations in Russia as sanctions took effect. Netflix also cited growing competition as well as rampant password sharing for the recent stall in paid subscriptions. Given the hit, Netflix says it's now open to offering a lower price subscriptions that will come with ads. Elon Musk reportedly willing to invest between $10 and $15 billion of his own money to take Twitter private. The billionaire, who is the company's second biggest shareholder with 9.1%, make that with a 9.1% stake, is planning to launch a tender offer in about 10 days. He has tapped Morgan Stanley to raise another $10 billion in debt. Twitter adopted a poison pill last week to protect itself from Musk's $43 billion buyout offer. More private equity firms are reportedly interested in participating in a deal for Twitter. The interest emerged after Thoma Bravo contacted the social media platform last week to explore a buyout that would challenge Musk's offer. Apollo Global Management is also considering ways it can provide financing to any deal and is open to working with Musk or any other bidder. Entertainment news now. Hollywood star Johnny Depp denies ever striking a woman as he takes the witness stand at the defamation trial against his former wife, actress Amber Heard. In his roughly three-hour testimony, the Oscar-nominated star spoke in detail about Heard's allegations of domestic abuse, his history with substance abuse, and their relationship. He also called allegations of physical abuse made against him by Heard heinous and disturbing. Depp is suing Heard for $50 million over a 2018 article in which she wrote about her experience with domestic abuse. Heard countersued for $100 million, claiming she suffered rampant physical violence and abuse at his hands. A new animated comedy movie called The Bad Guys promises to deliver a good time. Our very own Yong Chavez sits down with actress Zazie Beetz to talk about the film, which also has Filipino Americans working behind the scenes.
The action comedy The Bad Guys tells the story of a crew of outlaws who found themselves in an unusual spot, having the opportunity to be good. Its multi-talented cast includes Sam Rockwell, Zazie Beetz, Marc Maron, Awkwafina, Craig Robinson, Anthony Ramos, and Lily Singh.
I think Wolf was right. I think we could be more than just scary villains.
The bad guys go bust. The nefarious fivesome has finally been captured. And I, Tiffany Fluffett, am first on the scene.
The animated movie celebrates diversity not only in its voice actors, but also in its production members, which include Filipino-American women working in animation, Catherine Ramos-Lino and Ana Beatriz Carlos. Zazie Beetz plays its leading lady, Diane Foxington.
What did you like best about the story and voicing this character?
I just really liked the idea of a children's movie in the format of a heist film. I don't really think that's been done before. And honestly, watching the movie, it was cool to see how much action was in it and how fun and dynamic and stimulating it was. But beyond that, I really liked the character of Diane. I liked integrating her past into who she is today. I thought that was a really interesting part of the acting element and of, you know, figuring out what her truth is.
The movie boasts of hilarious scenes and exciting action sequences, but it also has heartfelt moments. The film's theme of evolving also resonated with its cast.
Was there anything about you that you wanted to change for the longest time but ended up keeping or just saying, you know what?
Oh, interesting. I can be very led by fear, where then I don't engage in things that I find interesting or want to do, or I don't challenge myself because I'm just even scared of the hard work. And I don't really want to do that anymore. I think it limits me. It limits my life, it limits my joy. And so that's something I'm trying to change about myself.
Yong Chavez, ABS-CBN News, here in Hollywood.
In sports, the Miami Heat have seized a 2-0 advantage in the first round affair with the Atlanta Hawks. NBA All-Star Jimmy Butler scored a playoff career high 45 points as Miami held on for a 115-105 Game 2 victory. Butler doused cold water on the Hawks' comeback attempt, going on a personal 7-0 run in the final minutes to seal it. Game 3 is on Friday in Atlanta. In local hoops, Barangay Ginebra will attempt to close out Meralco when they meet again in Game 6 of the PBA Governor's Cup Finals this evening. Ginebra stepped closer to the title following a 115-110 victory in Game 5. But the Bolts remain defiant as they seek to force a winner-take-all Game 7. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.